I want to welcome you to Second Online. Shout out to our Woodway campus, our West campus, South campus, North campus, Cypress 1463, and everybody that is worshiping right now in your home or in your apartment, maybe in your car. Be careful if you're driving, but thank you so much for worshiping with us today. I invite you to kneel with me if you can find a place to kneel. Again, unless you're in the car, do not kneel. And let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, I thank you that you're God. I thank you that you're sovereign. I thank you that you know every single thing that's going on in our city and in our world right now. God, we pray for our president. We pray for our governor, our mayor, all of our leaders. We pray for the scientists and doctors that are working so diligently right now. And God, we lift up those who are sick and who are hurting. God, comfort them. Heal them is our prayer. And Lord, be with us as we walk through this time with you, hand in hand, arm in arm. May this be a time not of stagnation, but a time of growth for us. Speak to us now as we open your word in Jesus' name. Amen. This week I received a text from a good friend of mine, and he had written in part of the text, this line, he said, you know, we're living in unprecedented times. And I thought he summed things up rather well. We are truly living in unprecedented times. I mean, think about what's happened in the last several days. All of our lives, not just here in Houston, but around the world, have been changed like that. There was no preparation for it. We didn't have time to think about it or prep. It just happened upon us. And we're wondering, we have a lot of questions like, what is going to happen next? And how long is this going to last? And we've had to change and adapt our life on the dime. So these are unprecedented times. This is a major crisis in our world and in our city and our country. But as we looked at last week, we know that every crisis is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us as a church family. It's an opportunity for you as an individual to make a difference in the lives of others and allow God to use this time to build his strength and character in you. We will make it through this tough time. There's no doubt about it. But hey, I think in many ways we've just started. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine who oversees a large international ministry. And he said, you know, we're really in stage one of this. Stage one is the panic and crisis stage. Stage two is a harsh reality stage that he talked about. And that hasn't hit yet. So times may get tougher. Things may get worse. But it's going to be okay because we're in this thing together and we know that God is with us. And God can use this time in our life. He's always done that. God's always done that. The church has kind of been like water over the centuries. It's been able to adapt to the container into which we find ourselves. So going back to the very first century, when we were persecuted in Jerusalem, what happened? The church left Jerusalem. They spread out all over the Mediterranean world. That's the way the gospel got out and evangelize those who had never heard of Christ before. So in that moment, God was able to use a crisis as an incredible opportunity for the body of Christ and for the church. And so that's my prayer for us as a church family as we continue to worship online together right now and possibly next weekend as well. We look forward to the time that we do gather back in our churches and our worship centers. It'll be a glorious time of reunion. But in the meantime, we have to figure out, as we started talking about last week, how do we get through what we're going through? I look at it like trying to cross a river. So in my life, I grew up and kind of grew up in the country, in the Carolinas before we moved to Texas. And my brother and I would go play outside. And there were little creeks and stuff and streams. And we would cross them and play in them. Then we moved to Texas. We were introduced to the various rivers like the Guadalupe and the San Marcos. We vacationed by the San Marcos several times, and I was able to cross the San Marcos And it's freezing cold, by the way. And but it's a small enough river where if you're at the right spot, you can kind of pick the right rock in the right place and not get caught in the little current, and you can cross to the other side. But I've never in my life crossed a river like the Nile River or the Mississippi River or the Amazon River that has this hellacious current and crocodiles and piranhas that are threatening to bite you at every moment and take your life away. Well, as I look at where we are as a church family, where we are as a culture, where we are as citizens of this world, we're trying to cross this massive, powerful river that has a dangerous current, that has crocodiles and piranhas, and if it's possible, great white sharks that are threatening our very life and our very existence. And what we're trying to do, we're on this side right now, we're trying, if you would, to get to that other side, to cross that river. And it is going to be a challenge. So how do we cross that river? And really, what is the river about anyway? People, if you're watching right now, you're probably thinking, well, I know what that river is. It's the coronavirus. That's it. And I would say, no, it's not the coronavirus. The river that we're trying to cross right now, that's going to be difficult for you and difficult for me and for us, is the river of fear, of uncertainty, of the unknown, of worry and anxiety, of getting a grip on these emotions and our mindset as we journey on. That's the river we're trying to cross, and that's the river we're going to cross together. Now, if you missed last week, you need to watch last week's message because this is part two of a two-part mini-series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. And last week, we were gathered in homes and apartments and places like we are right now, watching and doing worship together, though we're not in the same place. And there was a girl who's in first grade, I think her name is Kylie. She's only 7 years old, and she took notes on the message. She gave great notes. Last week's message, she summarized it very well. First of all, we need to take it one day at a time. Second of all, we need to do the right thing. And third, we need to trust in the power of God. So as you are listening to this message and this teaching, we're going to need it today in the days to come. I would encourage you to do like Kylie. She used a crayon. You can use a pen. You can type it on your phone or your laptop. But take notes, follow the scripture, pray over them in the following days, and I guarantee you God will use them as a way to encourage you and fill you with the power that you're going to need, that we're all going to need to make it through these tough and difficult times. So let's look at how do we get through what we're going through, part two. If you have a Bible, I'm reading out of Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. You can open your Bible or you can look right there and it will be right there below. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, underline that word witnesses, if you would, surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, consider Christ, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In the following days ahead, it's going to be easy for you to get weary and to lose heart. But we're not going to do that. We're going to use every means necessary to encourage each other, whether it's through text, phone calls, Zoom meetings, FaceTime, devotionals that we'll probably send out on Facebook as a church family. But we're going to encourage each other through these times, and we're going to make it. We're going to cross that river together to make it to the other side. Think about it. When you go through most crisis in your life and times of suffering, it's usually an individual thing, or maybe it's something you do with some people you know or family members. This is a situation where we're all in the same boat, trying to navigate these shark-infested, piranha-infested waters to make it through to the other side. Again, the river we're trying to cross is not this virus that just happens to be the external causation of what can cause mental and emotional anguish of fear and anxiety. That's what we're really having to deal with in these following days. But we are going to get through it, and we're to get through it together. But the question is how? How? How do we get through what we're going through? How do we do it in a way that we can rely and tap into the power of God? How do we do it in a way that we can not get selfish and angry and anxious, but in a way that we can serve and love others and allow God to develop his character in us through this process? So that's what we're going to look at as we unpack this verse in Hebrews 12 just a little bit. So how do we get through what we're going through? Number one, here's what we have to get. We have to get three things. Three things. Number one, we have to get with the overcomers. We have to get with the overcomers. Listen, when I'm going through a personal trial, when I'm going through a time of suffering, when I'm going to try to cross some crazy river that's threatening to take me under, I listen to people and I read people who have been through something, something major, some major suffering, some major grief, some major medical condition, some major war, some imprisonment. I'm going to listen to someone who has survived that by trusting in the power of God. That's who I'm listening to. I'm listening to an overcomer. They're on the other side of that river, if you would, right? They're on the other side. They've made it through. They've dealt with the fear. They've dealt with the uncertainty. They've dealt with the worry and anxiety in a powerful and efficient way. So I want to learn from them. And we should learn from them. I'm going to go back and reread some Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who survived the Gestapo death camps during World War II. I'm going to read some C.S. Lewis, one of the most influential persons in my life, who read Mere Christianity on those radio broadcasts as England was being bombed by the Germans, and he read that to encourage them. I'm going to go back and read Viktor Frankl, who wrote one of the best books of all time, Man's Search for Meaning, as he was in Dachau and as he was in Auschwitz, as he was trying to find meaning and purpose in the midst of his suffering. And Frankl did just that. If we're going to make it through what we're going through, if we're going to get to the other side of the river, now we've just started this journey. Like I said, it's going to get tough. It's going to get tougher. We're right here. We need to be over there. We've got to listen to people and follow those overcomers, those people who have been through something. Call me crazy, call me goofy. I don't think some of the YouTube influencers or whatever the heck they're called are going to be the people that are going to get you through what you're going through. I don't think their narcissism and their vapidity are really going to help you make it through the day in a certain way. Now, you may make it through, but you'll wind up on the other side just as shallow, just as empty as they probably are. Again, not all of them, but a lot of them are just not going to help you. They're not helpful right now. They're completely irrelevant. So I'm going to dive into scripture. I'm going to look at my man, Paul. Paul, who was a brilliant thinker and theologian and leader, and all the trials and suffering that he went through. I'm going to reread and memorize some of those verses. That's what's going to encourage me. His word's gone out and been encouraging people through crises for 2,000 years. This guy knows how to overcome. So let me encourage you. Find some overcomers right now. Dive into the scriptures. Dive back into Hebrews chapter 11. That's who he's referring to. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, these witnesses are the overcomers in Hebrews 11. Moses, and Rahab, and Abraham, and Samson, and so many others that endured and made it through these rough and rugged waters of a dirty, muddy, dangerous river and made it to the other side. So if we're going to get through what we're going through, the first thing we have to get is we have to get with the overcomers, all right? Then look at verse 1 again. Verse 1 in Hebrews 12, it says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Listen, the second thing we need to do as we're trying to get through what we're going through, make it to the other side, again, we're listening to those overcomers. They're on the other side. The information is there. They've written about it. They talked about it. We can download that. We can follow that. But the second thing we need to do is we need to get structured. You say, why do we need to get structured? Well, obviously, you're living in tight quarters right now. We're living on top of each other, but not really, because we have to keep our 6 feet of social distancing from one another. But it's difficult to do that. And when you're going through a difficult time, a painful time, an uncertain time, as we're trying to cross that river, it can bring out the best in us and it can bring out the worst in us. And the sins that are so common to us, the bitterness, the anger, the edginess, that can prevent us from living a life that we need to live. It can prevent us from really getting to that other side in a way that would honor God. So one of the ways we can combat that is to get structured. Get structured. So you need to structure your day. You know, whatever that looks like for you, structure your day. Get up, wake up. I like to get some coffee. Wake up, get some coffee. Have a time of worship. Have a time of devotion, either individually or with your family. Doesn't have to be long. You don't have to be religious about it. Man, but do that. Do that every day. Then after that, go to work. Have your list. If you're not working remotely, have a list of things that you want to do that day. Man, you can start off by making your bed. If you make your bed and make it neatly, boom, that's a W. You get up and you worship God, that's another W. W stands for win. And you just stack these wins throughout your day. But have a daily schedule. We're not, you know, one thing that brings order to chaos is a sense of structure. God is a God of order. In Genesis 1, verse 1, God spoke this world into existence. He spoke order into a chaotic situation, a chaotic cosmos, if you would. So you got to get structured on a daily basis. Also, I'd say you need to include working out. During that time, you need to include some time to go outside if you can and walk. If you can't go to the gym, you can do some push-ups, some sit-ups. You can do something to get your body in motion. Don't use this time that you have to get stagnant. Use this as a time of growth. And one of the ways you do that is by developing a structure. One thing I'd also suggest that's critical as far as the structure of your day is to limit your news intake. One thing I encourage you to do during your structuring your day is to limit your news intake. Limit your news intake. Limit your news intake. Listen, no, don't touch your screen. It's not stuck. I want to emphasize that. Limit the news you're intaking on a daily basis as we're trying to cross this river. You're going to get the news anyway. It's going to be texted to you, or you'll get it somehow on your phone, or someone will tell you about it, but you don't need to OD, overdose on all this negative news, all this uncertainty, all this fear-based stuff that's out there, okay? Don't do it. Don't do it. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help us cross that river. So get structured on a daily basis. A big part of that is to have that daily routine, have that daily structure, limiting your news, and also to structure your week. Again, we at Second here have continued to have worship services on the weekend. Every Saturday night at 6 o'clock, Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11. And of course, you can always go to second.org and there's all kind of content that there. We're sending out devotionals probably on a daily basis in the future to encourage you. So, but keep that weekly schedule of worship. Make that a priority in your life and your family's life. And take notes like Kylie. She knows what she's doing. So get some structure. Again, how are we going to get to the other side? How are we going to get through what we're going through in a way where we're trusting God, we're watching Him work in our life? We're going to get with the overcomers. We're going to listen to them. We're going to follow them. And the second thing we're going to do is we're going to get structured. God's not a God of chaos and confusion. He's a God of order. And we've got to bring some order and structure to our days. Listen, I know it's tough. If you're a mom and you got little ones running around or maybe in your arms, it's very difficult. But try to have some sense of structure to your days during this time especially. And you'll definitely reap the benefits of that. All right, the third thing we go back to scripture, is this. Look at it. It says, verse 1 says, let us run this race with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set out for us. So how do we get through what we're going through? Get with the overcomers, get structured, and get purposed. Get purposed. In other words, realize that God has a plan for your life. And that when we are going through trials and when we are going through times of suffering, God can, it's wild. He can use the suffering. He can use that pain in a productive way. Because a lot of times we're wondering, well, what is God's will for my life? How do I know what God wants me to do? Listen, God's will is much more relational than it is geographical or occupational. In other words, God is all about forming the character of Christ in you. Again, the writer of Hebrews says we're running this race. How do we run this race? It's not a sprint. This is a ultra marathon that we're in right now, folks. This river that we're going to cross, to use another analogy, is a wide, powerful river. It's going to take time, but we have to see that God is in this, that there's a purpose behind it. As one philosopher said, by the way, it's not Kelly Clarkson, that which doesn't kill you outright only makes you stronger. Paul talks about this in Romans 5, how it's suffering that creates character and produces this endurance in our life. So again, it's so critical that as we're going through this time together, that we go through this time in a particular way, that we don't waste this time, that we allow God to use it in our life so that we will be productive as individuals, so that we will become better leaders, stronger parents, greater students, as we come out on the other side of this crisis, on the other side of the river. Again, trials that we have to go through in life are always a time of testing and a time of teaching for us. So maybe a question you can ask yourself is, God, what are you teaching me? What are you teaching us through this? God, what are some sins and some stupid things that I'm doing in my life or thinking that are entangling me, that are preventing me from running in a certain way or preventing me from living my life in a certain way that I just need to get rid of? Confess and move on. God has a purpose in the midst of all of this. The key thing for you, the key thing for us is how will we respond? How are we going to respond to the tough times? How are we going to respond to living in close quarters, though 6 feet apart? How are we going to respond to God in the midst of trying to make it through this river and get to the other side? It's not easy. Now, I like to say that, man, every morning this past week, I wake up with 100% faith, right? Victory every single day. No. There's some days I'm wondering, how are we going to make it? How am I going to make it? What's going to happen next? In our country, in our economy, with the spread of this disease here and around the world, what will happen next? How will we make it through? One thing that encouraged me this week, as I was having some questions about it, was I did a little research. And in that research, I looked at three dates, 1927, 1929 to 1939, and 1939 to 1944. You say, what are these three dates? Well, in 1927, a small group of people organized and decided to start a brand new church in downtown Houston. And the name of that church that started in 1927 was the Second Baptist Church. Only 2 years later, in 1929, this little church has just started. From 29 to 39 was the Great Depression, the most devastating economic collapse in the history of the United States that affected the entire world. After that ended in 1939, in that same year, World War II began and went on all the way to 1944. Some people say 1945. But you know what? Second Baptist Church of Houston, Texas, that small group of people that gathered downtown in 1927, though the first 17 years were facing massive national and international suffering and adversity, the Second Baptist Church made it through and survived. And not only survived, but thrived. So are we going to make it through as a church family? Yes, we are. You say, why? Because it's in our DNA. It's who we are. And most importantly, it's whose we are. Yes, we are living in unprecedented times, but we have an unstoppable and powerful God who's going to lead us and then guide us and empower us moment by moment, minute by minute, one day at a time. So my brothers and sisters, as Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and courageous, for God is with us.